So beginning with Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, automatically, that makes it supernatural. That makes it miraculous. Right? Amen. She had no physical relations with any man, and yet she had a baby. You know that that's not uncommon. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
So this child is going to be a child different from all other children. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. That's Isaiah 7:14. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And then Mary and Joseph lived as husband and wife. Right?
Right.
Somebody said there's a great deal about God that we cannot understand. Who can understand God? John Wesley very appropriately said, bring me a worm that cannot comprehend a man, and I will show you a man that can comprehend God. Bring me a worm that can comprehend a man, and then I will show you a man that can comprehend God. Well, people struggle with that. They're trying to comprehend God, and they've come up with a false doctrine, the Trinity. They've come up with the doctrine of the Trinity. But I think that this verse before us this morning, which says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us, takes care of the doctrine of the Trinity. Puts it back out of sight where it ought to be. I am oneness, folks. I am oneness. And if you think this is a Trinity church, you have been mistaken, and I'm glad you love the Spirit here. I'm glad you keep coming back. That happened to one lady we know. You know Russell and Charlotte Edwards. How many remember them? All right, they came here thinking that because it said Pentecostal Assembly, and because we get a lot of mail that says Pentecostal Assembly of God, then we are a Trinitarian church. And so the Edwards came to this church thinking that it was an Assembly of God church. We were over in the other building at that time, and she listened and loved the fellowship of the saints. She loved the moving of the Spirit of God in our midst. She loved the music, she loved the songs, she loved me, she loved everything. And then one day, I guess maybe I said it a little boldly, and she came up to me right over here by this piano over in the other building. And she stood right about here, and she said, Pastor, I have to talk to you. Isn't this an Assembly of God church? I said, no, this is Pentecostal Assembly. And we talked, and we talked, and she said, well, I perceive that you are not Trinity. I perceive that you are oneness, and I am Trinity, and I have some questions for you. And she asked me a question, And she had a whole list of scriptures. She asked me the question, and I forgot what the question was, but this is her own testimony, and I have documented on file in my Charlotte Edwards file, her Russell Edwards file. She stood there amazed as I answered her question with all the scriptures that she had written down against me. You got it? She had all kinds of scripture references against me. And when she asked me question number one, I used every scripture that she had listed to use against me in teaching the oneness. Hey, that's not it. We don't have Trinity scriptures in the Bible and oneness scriptures in the Bible. All we have in the Bible is oneness scriptures. That's all there are. We have a one Bible, a one God Bible. That's the Hebrew Shema. That's, behold, all Israel, the Lord our God is one. Everybody say one.
One.
The Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. And I want to talk about that for just a little while this morning. But this is from... The scene must have been awesome. The scene must have been awesome, like nothing before or since. It was so profound, so majestic. There is no earthly comparison. We can only imagine how it all transpired. Dear friend, imagine a council meeting among the Trinity in eternity past. Father, Son, and Spirit were engaged in a heavenly conference, hammering out a solution on the anvil of infinite wisdom. I skip a lot. Today, you and I experience the joy of God's solution. God and man meeting in an arrangement so stupendous, only the Trinity could have planned it. Down some more. Remarkable thought. The Son becoming a servant. Jesus Christ, the Lord, songs of celebration are sung. All because a member of the Godhead, eternally worthy of angelic worship, willingly became a servant. Skip some more. Isn't it amazing? Something as awesome and profound as a meeting among the Trinity resulted in our being in the family of God. That's servanthood. Many being helped because one individual was willing to be unselfish. Is he inferring that the other two were selfish? I mean, you know, think now. Because one individual was willing to be unselfish, it's the only way God and man could have ever met. Okay, that's that one. I have another one here. This one is incredible. I wrote a letter to a friend of mine and I quoted from this. I said, dear brother, so-and-so, praise the Lord forever and ever. I enjoyed our visit and so on. My wife, let's see. A tape was recommended to me, and so I borrowed it and turned it on while I went about some other duties. But as I listened, I commenced to laugh in the spirit, and a wonderful spirit of rejoicing came all over me. Let me share with you, mostly word for word, some of his statements. God, now this is off the tape. God is one in essence and three in personalities. Now let me tell you something. Jesus Christ did not come to earth with another personality. No, no, no. He was an expression of God. He was the flesh of God. He was the person of God. He was not somebody else. He was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Listen, God is one in essence and three in personalities. When the Bible talks about God as being one, it is always a reference to the character or the essence of God. By essence, we mean the characteristics or makeup of God. Sovereign, absolute righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, and immutable. This is the general character of God. Well, pray tell, what's the character of Jesus? Is it different than that? I mean, isn't Jesus sovereign, absolute righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, immutable? Oh my, yes. Okay, God exists in three separate and distinct personalities. First, the Father. And he possesses all the characteristics in the essence box. And then I wrote here, evidently he had a blackboard and some three boxes and a single box drawn on it. Second is the Son. Now this is the fleshly mind, this is the carnal mind, this is the natural mind trying to figure out something spiritual. That's all this is. It's a foolish attempt at trying to make three gods into one God. And coming out with three boxes. And, oh, man. Second is the Son, and He possesses all the characteristics in the essence box. And thirdly, we have the Holy Spirit, and He possesses all the characteristics of the essence box. Well, that takes care of that. God is one in essence, but three in personalities. No, He just said they all have the characteristics of the essence box. You know, now the Father is absolute righteousness, the Son is absolute righteousness, the Holy Spirit is absolute righteousness. Now, the three members of the Godhead held a conference billions and billions and billions of years ago. We call this the Eternal Life Conference, or the Doctrine of Decrees. Yeah, that's what they call it, but that's not what this calls it. God Himself says, I counsel with nobody. He says, I'm out here in eternity all around, all alone. I look that way and 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 that way. There's no God beside me. None. Nowhere. I didn't counsel with anybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me do it again. Now the three members of the Godhead held a conference billions and billions and billions of years ago. No wonder I laughed in the Holy Ghost. We call this the Eternal Life Conference. You find that for me in the Bible. Or the Doctrine of Decrees. You find that for me in the Bible. And in this conference, which is mentioned in various passages in the Word of God, He's found various passages. I haven't found one. We find that the omniscience of the members of the Godhead looked down the corridors of time, and there they saw man in a sinful condition. They saw man out of fellowship with God and man in danger of eternal condemnation. And therefore a plan was developed. And in this Eternal Life Conference, by way of summary, the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, is the author. Have you ever read in Hebrews chapter 12, like last week, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our salvation? Oh. I mean, I've got a lot of patience, but I run short here. I really do. God the Father is the author. He is the designer of the plan. The second person of the Trinity, the Son, is the executor of the first phase. Boy, what a home Bible study this would make. Phase one is salvation. Of course, he had a blackboard there. It began with the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus, continues during the period of the incarnation, reaches its climax at the cross, followed by the resurrection and ascension. Phase one is executed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Phase one is provided entirely by Him. Tonight, it is our objective to study phase one. However, we are still in the process of reviewing what we had last time. Then there is the second phase to the plan, God's provision for the believer in time, executed by the Holy Spirit and the divine operating aspects. The techniques we'll be studying a little later on Tuesday nights. Then there is the third phase, and phase three is eternity. And God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, is the executor of the third phase. And there's a whole lot more. I listened to the whole tape. You ought to applaud me for being able to make it through. But anyway, my big burden is this, that this stuff is being taught to innocent people who are so hungry they gullibly eat anything you feed them. No wonder our world is so mixed up, confused. Isn't that confusing? How would you like to try to win a soul to the Lord? I mean, he's already feeling the flames of hell, and you say, now here's phase one, and here, I got to draw three boxes for you, and this, wouldn't you rather just say, Jesus? Amen. Jesus. There is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved than by the name of Jesus. Jesus. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus. Jesus. Instead of getting so complicated about all of this. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, say it.
God.
Yes, God with us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, let me ask you a question. How important is it to believe that Jesus is deity? that Jesus is divine, that Jesus is the Son of God. How important is it, or is it important at all? Isn't it enough just to believe that there is a God? After all, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Nothing about Jesus there. But what about James 2:19? Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. Hey, folks, isn't that enough then? Some people would like us to believe that it's enough just to believe that there is a God. No, understand these verses. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Understand these verses. The devils also believe there's one God and tremble. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard someone say, it really doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you sincerely believe whatever it is that you believe? You've heard that. I've heard that. I've heard that over and over. But I do answer these people. I say, no, my friend, you can't believe just anything you want to. That is, if you want to be saved and go to heaven when you die. You can believe anything you want. We have that prerogative. We all have that choice, freedom of choice, right? Yeah, you can choose to keep your baby, abort your baby. You can choose to believe in God, not to believe in God. You can choose to curse God and die. You can choose to worship God and live. You can choose to get saved or be lost. That's a matter of choice. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you want to die and go to heaven when you die, or if you want to go to heaven when you die, you've got to believe a particular thing, a certain specific thing. And what is it? Jesus told us what it is. He said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, and the next word is in italics, he. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Friend, it is indispensable that you believe that Jesus Christ is God. It is indispensable that you believe he is divine, that he is deity, that he is the Son of God. It is not optional. We do not have a choice of things to believe. It is imperative that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you this story before, but a preacher said to my wife one time that what's really something, God chose to die to save us when he, being omniscient, could have come up with, figured out, a million other plans to save mankind. The fact of it is, no way to save mankind. Man was irrecoverably lost, but Jesus made a way when there was no way. When he came, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody ought to shout. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care if it's Sunday morning, you ought to shout. Somebody shout, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's get out of this Sunday morning blues syndrome or whatever it is. What do you say, folks? Clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. God's alive in Sunday school. God's alive on Sunday morning. And I personally think that the Word of God deserves a greater response than music, and then our worship services and our testimonies and anything else we do in church. It's the Word of God that quickens us and makes us alive. And without that Word of God quickening us, the music would not be anointed. The testimonies would mean it be like sounding brass and the tinkling cymbal. We need the moving of the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Spirit of God. We need to respond to the Word of God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. I'm not chiding anybody. I'm saying, Brother Tanber, you haven't given the people an opportunity to shout in Sunday school. Right. When I say shout, I'm not talking about Southern shouting. Oh, did we shout last night? We didn't have any preaching. That's exactly the opposite of what I'm talking about. We had preaching, and did we ever shout over the Word of God? Hallelujah. Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Right. That's what the Bible says. And so we need to get out there with this message so people don't have to believe this other stuff. This eternal life conference billions and billions and billions of years ago, when the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost got together and they shook coins or drew straws or cast lots, and they said, ha, you're going. We don't have to. You go. Get down there and die now. That's not the way it happened.
Aren't you glad you know how it happened? Aren't you glad you know one God tonight? And you know His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said to me one time, we pray to the Father and you pray to the Son. How come? I said, No, they didn't say it that way. They said, you pray to the Father. They said, we pray to the Father and you pray to Jesus. How come? I said, we know our Father's name. So we call Him by name. We're in the family. Hallelujah. Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Amen. Amen. It is imperative that we believe in Jesus. Praise God. Now that idea, believe anything you want that sounds good to you, is quite common in some circles among some people. But that sounds like those pastors, those evangelists, and those preachers that say, oh, you want to be baptized? Well, it's baptism according to you. Not according to Paul, not according to Peter, not according to the apostles. It's according to you. How would you like to be baptized? They're doing that. They're doing that. They're doing that right here in our town. I had people come to me and say, I asked them, well, how'd you get baptized? And they said, well, they give you a choice over there. If you want to be, I said, well, they sprinkle you? And we won't go into that. And, well, if you want to be baptized, will you baptize me in Jesus' name? Somebody asked somebody, and they said, well, yeah, but I want to say Father, Son, Holy Ghost first, which is in Jesus' name. See, trying to skirt the issue, trying to circumvent God's word. You don't have to do that, folks. You don't have to do that. It's Jesus' name. He is God with us. Come on, praise the Lord. Let's not get bogged down into those things.
Amen.
And try to cover all the bases when there's it's one base. Man, you bat this ball, you hit a home run. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You don't run three bases, one base. You run to Jesus. You run to Jesus and you're home. You run to Jesus. You already made the home run. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're getting into the Christmas spirit here. I just want everybody to know who this Jesus is that we're singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to. That we're singing all those silly songs too. No, we're not singing them to Him. That's the world that doesn't know who He is that's doing that. They're saying Happy Holidays. Boy, I look them right in the eye and I say Merry Christmas. And I'm heavy on the Christmas, the Christ. And don't cross out Christ and make it Xmas with me. Amen. I am not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the power of God unto salvation. This glorious gospel message that we have. Jesus, 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 born of a virgin. The only one born of a virgin. The only one who never had a human father. The only person that had blood that could save us. The only person that had flesh that could save us. The only person that lived a pure, holy, spotless, impeccable life could save us. That's Jesus. Somebody say Jesus again. I'm excited about Jesus today. I've been excited about Him for many, many years now. Praise the Lord. But it's not baptism according to you, and it's not Christmas according to you. And I don't know. I don't know about it all. I wish, well, I won't go into that either, but maybe I should.
Richard?
Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So they say, well, how would you like to be baptized? I say, it is wrong to ask the candidate how he wants to be baptized. It is right to teach the candidate what God's word says about baptism and then tell him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Paul, Peter preached to those Gentiles that first time. He saw them filled with the Holy Ghost and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He did not say to them, oh, Cornelius, you're a Gentile. How would you like to be baptized? I mean, don't you have some God that you revere and you'd like to be baptized in His name? No, my friend, no, no, no. Hallelujah. You know, when you have a candidate coming up for baptism, you want to say to them, thus saith the word of the Lord. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. It is written. I say this to you by the highest authority in the universe, the word of God. This we say unto you by the word of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, saints of God, when you teach a home Bible study, when you're witnessing to somebody, be positive, be authoritative, because you've got it. You've got that authority, not in yourself, but in the word of God, and that authorizes you
to speak on behalf of him. Praise God. There is only one way to get to heaven. How many know that? There is only one way to get to heaven. Revelation 21 verse 27 says, sin must go, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Somebody asked Billy Sunday, will I be able to chew Copenhagen in heaven? Billy Sunday stopped and thought for a minute. He says, I don't know. But one thing is certain, you'll have to go to hell to spit. I thought that was good, because there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Catholic Register, the Lutheran Church Rolls, the Pentecostal membership book. No, no, no. In the Lamb's book of life, there is only one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And our hearts ought to bleed. Our hearts ought to go out for those people who think that there is some other way to get into heaven, that they're just all roads lead to Rome, and I'm taking this road and you're taking that one. We'll see you there. Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. We got to have our names written in the Lamb's book of life, not on some church roll somewhere. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Jesus is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Acts 13:38. No animal blood could take away our sins, and no human being was fit to take away our sins. Nobody can do it. That's why Jesus said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Amen. That's it. That's from the highest authority in the universe, the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I don't know where people get the idea that they think they can go out and drink, get drunk with a skunk, come to church and raise their hands and go out and get drunk again. They're on their way to heaven. Brother, sister, you're on your way to hell. You're on your way to the fire that burns forever and ever. And I'm still going to scream it. I'm going to yell it. I'm going to preach it until I'm dead, until I can't preach anymore, until Jesus comes. Somebody's got to get back to the old-fashioned Bible, the old-fashioned preaching, the old-fashioned Word of God, the old-fashioned belief in hell and in heaven and against sin and sinlessness. It's in the Word of God. We've got to know it. We've got to preach it. We've got to believe it. We've got to practice it. We got too many people today running around with a bottle in their hand and a pack of cigarettes in their pocket. They're in church, and they're going through the mechanics of worship, and they're no more saved than the devil himself. Hey, let's wake up. Let's get as sincere as this prayer request is. Hey, my dad once lived for God. He's not living for God anymore. Would somebody help me pray for my dad? Will somebody take a day and fast a meal or two or three and pray for my dad? Oh, you don't know my dad? Would you pray for him anyway? I don't want him to go to hell. Praise the Lord. That's what this is all about. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Who did it? Jesus Christ did. God Almighty manifested in the flesh, came to this earth, died for our sins. Now the Bible says God sent forth his Son. We know that. But up in the church in St. Paul, ABI there, they have a sign over here. God didn't send someone else. He came himself.
Yes.
Now somebody could look at that and argue and say, no, God says, the Bible says God sent forth his Son. Put it together.
Yeah.
Come on. Engage it. Come on. You got to know what he's talking about. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's it. That's what our text this morning says. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at God with us. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at the one who said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Come on, stretch forth your hand, touch me, handle me, and see. This is not a spirit. This is me. I am Jesus. I am God in flesh.
Hallelujah.
And when you're baptized in my name, don't worry about the rest. He that hath the Son hath the Father also, the Bible says. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When Jesus took James, Peter, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, And Moses and Elijah appeared representing the law and the prophets, and they had a conversation while the boys were sleeping. The law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, were talking to Jesus about Jesus' crucifixion, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
Here's the point. They were awakened. A voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son." Now, he didn't say this, but let me just say it for clarification. He didn't say, "Hear me." He didn't say, "Hear the Holy Spirit." He said, "Hear him. Hear him. He's the one I sent. He's the one I dwell in. That's me in the flesh. 33 and a half years now. Hear him."
Oh, praise God.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you what I'm doing this morning. I'm exalting the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I am exalting him.
Yes.
Not above God. He is God.
Right.
How can you exalt me above me?
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
He is God. Right. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou worship. Read it over and over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Revelation. Read it, read it, read it. They fell at his feet. They worshiped him. They worshiped him. And he did not say, "Get away, stop now. Worship God only." Oh, you read about that in the book of Revelation when the angel said, "Don't worship me, don't worship me. I'm just one of you, don't worship me. Worship God." But not when they came to Jesus. Because Jesus knew who he was. You just go ahead. Come on. Worship me. Worship me. Worship me. Praise God. Throughout the Gospels and the book of Revelation. Worship Jesus. Hear him. Worship him. Put it all together. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Bruce Allen from Owatonna, Iowa, preached in this church. I love him. He pastors a Oneness church in Owatonna, Minnesota. And charismatic church was started in his town. And it grew hundreds and hundreds of people. And his church was probably under 100 yet. But he made friends with this Trinitarian charismatic pastor. That charismatic pastor's name is Tim Peterson. I met him. I met him in Minnesota. And so Pastor Tim Peterson would meet with Pastor Bruce Allen. He was a UPC preacher in Owatonna. And they would discuss the Godhead. I think it was during one of their conversations when Tim Peterson said, "Wow, if God himself came to earth to die for the sins of the world, that would be the greatest story ever told."
Yeah.
Woo, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, glory to God, praise Jesus.
He got the revelation, and I heard him talk. My wife and I sat there. He talked and he talked. You talk about excited. You talk about excited about a revelation of the Godhead. And I'd like to say something to us this morning. Don't let that revelation go to sleep on you. Let that revelation stay alive in you. Praise the Lord. It is the most powerful. It is the most important revelation in the whole Bible. In fact, it is the message of the whole Bible. He's coming. God said through the prophets, he's coming. God, who at sundry times in the divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Just wait. He's coming. And time went on. History went by. 4,000 years, 3,000, 2,000, 1,000. And when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Here he is. They called him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, don't go to sleep on this revelation. Don't let it get old on you. It's real. It's life-giving. It's the most important revelation in the whole Bible. It was, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Here he is. He's coming. Now he's here. And friend, he's here today in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. John 1:3 says all things were made by him. Jesus. And without him, Jesus, was not anything made that was made. John 1:10 says, he, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made by him, Jesus, and the world knew him, Jesus, not. Why Jesus? Let's go back to Genesis 1:1. Why not just God? In the beginning, God and Jesus? No, it doesn't have to say that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. His name wasn't revealed yet. He's coming. Who's coming? Who's coming? God's coming. Emmanuel, God with us. Who's coming? God says, I'm coming. I'm coming. I will come and save you. Oh, listen to it now. Listen to it now. In the beginning, God, all things were made by him. He was in the world. He created everything. Nothing was made that Jesus didn't make. Praise the Lord. Why Jesus? Why not just God? Because God created man and man fell. And so God became a man and had a name. And that name was Jesus. And Jesus means Savior. Yes. Now tell me who came.
Yes.
God came. God himself came. He sent forth his flesh. He sent forth his son. He sent forth his spirit hovering over Mary. And she brought forth that son, the Son of God. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you something, folks. This is not a secular college course. This is a Holy Ghost course. Because no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Have you got that Holy Ghost boldness this morning? Can you say, he is Lord? He is Lord. He has risen from the dead and he is Lord. It takes Holy Ghost boldness. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad I've got the understanding to a degree. And I'm glad that I've got the boldness to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everybody's going to do it someday. Listen to Isaiah 25:9. And it shall be said in that day. And it, Isaiah, the name of Jesus was not revealed yet. It wasn't revealed until Matthew chapter 1, you might say. Where do you read the name Jesus in the Old Testament? You just read that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. And then we get the interpretation in Matthew, God with us, praise the Lord. Or unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. This is as close as we can get to it. His name shall be called Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. That's Jesus. That's the one that was heralded to come. He is coming, praise God. When he came, listen, Isaiah cried in the Holy Ghost, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. It shall be said in that day when they lay eyes on Jesus, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation.
Amen.
Now, if that's not enough, you should read, we don't have time. Read Isaiah chapter 12 for dinner today. Oh, boy, it's wonderful. He says there in Isaiah chapter 12, 1 through 6, Jehovah is become my salvation. Now that's exactly what happened. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. According to my electronic Bible, the word Jehovah is in 1, 2, 3, 4 places in the King James Version of the Bible. That's every place in the Bible where the word Jehovah appears. And it's, now who's Jehovah? You know who that is. That's the self-existent one. And as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he can give that life to whoever he will. That life, that eternal life, is in the Son. When we talk about Son, we're not talking about the second person of the Blessed Trinity or the Holy Trinity. No, we're not talking about that. That's not to be found in the Bible. God the Father is in the Bible, but God the Son, God the Holy, you don't find that in the Bible. That's not there.
Amen.
Why don't we just admit it, settle it, accept it, and worship him, that Jesus Christ is Lord? Everybody's going to do it someday anyway. We might as well get warmed up. Praise the Lord. In closing, just turn to Titus in your Bible. I want to show you something very interesting. Very interesting. Titus in your Bible. It's only 3 chapters. We won't read all 3 chapters. We'll just read 6 verses. 2 verses from chapter 1. 2 two verses from chapter 2 and two verses from chapter 3. Now just notice what old brother Paul says to Titus here. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of... Read it for me. Who's our Savior? Verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. And when I finish reading, then you just read it out loud. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the
Lord Jesus Christ.
Just a minute, Paul. You said God was our Savior. Now you're saying Jesus is our Savior. Well, his pen must have slipped. Well, let's go to chapter 2. Verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of
God our Savior.
God our Savior. Oh, Paul, your pen slipped again. Okay, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and
our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Paul, two chapters, let's go. Three strikes, Paul, you're out. Okay, chapter 3, verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of
God our Savior.
Would you folks make up your mind? Verse 6, which he said on us abundantly through God our Savior, Jesus our Savior, chapter 1. God our Savior, Jesus our Savior, chapter 2. God our Savior, Jesus our Savior, chapter 3.
Amen.
Amen.
When you worship God, when you worship Jesus, you are worshiping God. When you worship the Father, the Jesus, you are worshiping the Father. He that has seen me and seen the Father, he touches me, and so on and so on. Praise God. There's so much more to say. We're out of time. Can we stand? Well, saints of God, don't be afraid to get excited about your Savior. God, your Savior. Jesus, your Savior. Oh, I mean, I don't be afraid to get exuberant about it, emotional about it, demonstrative about it. We have the most marvelous, wonderful, powerful revelation in the universe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you this time, oh God. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that this revelation be revealed to everyone of us, Lord.